Welcome to Cascade Connects, a podcast focusing on the people and events in the Cascade Collegiate Conference. Here is your host, CCC Commissioner Robert Cashel.
Welcome to the first edition of the 2026-27 Cascade Connects. I'm your host, Rob Cashel, Conference Commissioner, and very excited to be joined by Greta Borison from LC State and the member and captain of the LC State competitive dance team. Greta, thank you so much for joining the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me on today.
Well, this is a little bit of a departure for us because right now the conference doesn't sponsor competitive dance in our league, but yet you're in a league and it's an NAIA sport, and what you guys do is really, really cool. And so we wanted to expose our audience to kind of this activity and this sport and bring you on. So thank you so much for educating us today.
Yeah, absolutely. I love to do that. It's definitely newer for lots of people. So it's fun to be able to, like you said, like reach out to different people, let them know what we do. And because we're not conference, we do have a little bit of a disadvantage in when it comes to that, because it's a little bit difficult sometimes to get people to understand what we do or how we do it or why we do it. So yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, so it's been in the NAIA for a number of years now as a championship sport, and my kids didn't participate in dance, but I have three nieces and nephews that did, so I have a little bit of exposure to it, and I know how hard of an activity it is, how athletic you have to be. It's an intense activity. So tell us a little bit about how you got involved in competitive dance.
Yeah, so I have danced since I was 4 years old. I feel like a lot of cases for dancers and a lot of college athletes, it's a sport that they've done since they were little. So I was dancing before I was in school. And I've always loved it. I've always loved music and rhythm and all of those things. And so my parents saw that in me and they knew I enjoyed it and I liked to push myself. So I continued dance through a studio. So we were a performance studio. So I didn't actually compete at all before college, which is pretty abnormal, actually. I'm kind of the odd one out when it comes to that. A lot of my peers were at competitive studios. So they were very used to that competition world. I was used to that because a lot of my friends and other people that danced, but I've been dancing for pretty much my whole life. And then I got the opportunity. I knew some of the staff and coaches at LC, and they connected me with the dance coach there. And my first year at LC was the first year of the team being a varsity sport endorsed by the NAIA at our school. So I got connected with the coach, signed on the team in that spring before I started. And that's kind of how I got involved into the competitive world of dance. My first experience, which again, I'm kind of the odd duck in that scenario, was actually in college. But even a lot of my teammates, the NAIA collegiate competition for dance is very different than even a lot of like high school and elementary ages for competition. It looks very different.
Yeah. So when you say you didn't get into the competitive stuff until college, that's interesting. So tell me a little bit about that transition. Was it vastly different than the performance side?
Yeah, so for me, I was trained like classical, ballet, tap, jazz. I did a little bit of hip hop and then eventually danced on point. And so I had like a pretty diverse experience for training. And those kind of years differed of what years I took what classes and all of those things. But those were my classical trainings. And then when I got to college in the NAIA right now, it's like a combo routine, which is palm, jazz, and hip hop all in one routine, which is very abnormal. Dancers usually have like one routine and your routine is a jazz routine. And so it was a pretty big switch up for me. I didn't have a training in palm really at all. Coming into college, I did some cheerleading in high school for a season. So I had some of that experience, which palm is pretty much the cheerleading version of dance, kind of, if that makes sense. And so I had some experience with that, but definitely a big change for me going from performance where we prepared a recital and we performed like two times a year, maybe three times, to moving to competition and game day. At LC, we do, my coach has a big emphasis on game day. So we're at volleyball games, basketball games, baseball games, and any event we can get at. And so we do a lot of, you know, interacting with people and performing to really engage, which was a big switch up for me for sure. But it was a really good one. I had a lot of support and a lot of my teammates were really helpful. And we've created a really encouraging environment at LC. So I didn't ever feel like, yes, this switch was huge, but it never felt negative for me, which I'm so grateful for.
You mentioned being game at game day, and that's really creating that atmosphere, right, for your fellow student athletes to participate in their activity, right? And that also serves it probably serves also as somewhat of a practice for you all, and kind of cleaning your routines and all of those types of things prior to your competition.
We get a lot of experience. We really get good at like working as a team and communicating at those game days, because all of those things are, I mean, on the fly. You're quick, like at a volleyball game especially, like the music's on for 30 seconds. So our captains, there's a few of us on the team, we're like our callers, so we're calling out to our teammates the names of the routines or the little dances we're gonna do. We're really like quick with all of that. So we have to know all the routines. We have quite a few little short ones. And so those game days get us really good at like communicating well, working together. And then they're really fun. Like you said, it's super good to involve other student athletes and just students at the school to create that like fun, engaging environment for game days. Because before there's, if there's no cheerleaders or before schools have cheerleaders or dancers or people at the games to really engage the audience and like the crowd that's coming, it does kind of feel dead sometimes, even when the game's really engaging. And so one thing I've even been really encouraged by, and I know my teammates have and my coaches as well, is hearing from the players that are playing the sport, like when we can't be at a game because we have a competition or we have another engagement. And I've had basketball players and volleyball players come up to me and they were like, "Where were you at Friday's game? Like, we missed having the, like, we're loud, we're getting people like involved and cheering." And for a lot of athletes, that's super encouraging. Like, okay, my crowd is here, they're rooting for me. And so that's been really fun for me to like cheer on my friends that are other student athletes of other sports to really like make sure they're also having a positive experience with their sport, which I absolutely love getting to do that.
Yeah, and creating that atmosphere for the fans, and then, like you said, certainly for your fellow student athletes and that whole environment. And let's face it, people expect that kind of stuff when they go to an activity.
It's definitely expected.
I noticed we were at LC for the baseball championships this last May. And the cheer and maybe even some of the dancers were engaging with the and that was the first time I had really seen that at baseball. And wow, it changed the atmosphere of that game.
Yeah, we love being at baseball. This is our second year doing some more engaging baseball like stuff and activities and getting the crowd involved and, you know, throwing out t-shirts that our sponsors are giving us for games and just dancing when there's like a switching out a pitcher or between innings, like being able to get up and do those things is super fun. We definitely had some like people who were like, "Oh, I don't know how I feel about this," but that this last year, which was our second year being at baseball, like you said, like it really creates a fun atmosphere for a baseball game. And obviously at LC, we have definitely like a baseball like push at our school. It's super big. We get to host the World Series and it's very well supported in the community. And so being able to like bring in a new element to keeping those like games like high energy and engaging, because even the athletes that are playing, that are on the field playing, it's nice to have energy in the stands because we do have so much support, but it's nice when they get to feel that. And so we kind of get to be the avenue that connects those fans that we already have to the players that are like, you know, working hard and doing all those things. And we kind of get to be the middleman, which is really fun.
So you are a native of Clarkston, Washington, just across the river from LC State. So that's got to be exciting for you to be close to home, and your family can watch you compete.
Yeah, it's super fun. I grew born and raised in the Valley, so I grew up going to like I don't remember my life without going to the World Series and going to LC basketball games and volleyball games. Like I my whole life have like LC athletes were like the coolest people. So the fact that I get to be one now is just like so full circle for me. And I wasn't really it was kind of an opportunity that landed in my lap a little bit. And like obviously all the hard work I put in my athletics career like pushed me there, but it wasn't really something I was necessarily seeking out. And so the fact that it got to work out for me is so cool. But I love being in the valley still and having my family and friends support like built in, because a lot of my teammates don't have that because they're from, a good 10-hour drive away. So their parents can't always come. So I love having that. And also, our community is super supportive of cheer and dance in general, and even our school. So even a lot of my friends that don't necessarily have people that can come watch them at a game day, at a performance, our community supports really well. And so it does create that environment that feels like family. And for me, that is the case, which is really fun.
Elementary education major going
Yes.
into your junior year, so you're obviously very busy. You had an outstanding high school career, 4.0, involved in leadership, etc. You're also the ASA, a member of your campus ASA, and you're going to be
Yes.
representing LC for our Conference Association of Student Athletes. So we're looking forward to that next month as well.
Yes, I'm super excited. I'm actually going into my senior year of college. So
Okay.
I'm finishing up this year. And yeah, I was super involved in high school, all those leadership things. I still really like keeping my schedule full, keeping myself busy, but I love like getting to know people and being able to be the one that like helps things run smoothly, and like getting other people involved too is super fun for me. So I've been a member of ASA as a representative my freshman year. My sophomore year, I was a member of exec board. And then for these 2 years, my junior and senior year of college, I'll serve as the president of our LC ASA. And then obviously, yeah, as a conference representative, which is super exciting opportunity because, like we said before, not a conference sport. So being able to kind of bridge that gap between my sport and then also the conference sports at my school and representing them is a pretty cool thing I get to do. So thank you for that.
Yeah, we're excited for next month and bringing all of our reps together and do some good bonding and training. I want to turn back to the competitive part of what you all do and help our listeners and our viewers understand when you go to a competition, what exactly is being judged? How do you score? How do you win?
Yeah, so dance in college and in the NAI specifically is pretty complicated. It's a little bit different than, obviously, the NCAA does not do that. So ours is very different. We're lucky enough to be endorsed and all of those things. So it's super cool, but it is a little complicated. So even when I started school, I still feel like sometimes I'm figuring it all out. And it changes and, all of those things shift. But previously, we've been judged on. So in our routine, like I said, there's a time limit and we have to do a certain amount of time in our routine that is dedicated to jazz, a certain amount for pom and hip hop. And so those things are required. And then the requirements have kind of changed over the years. Like we'll have to do turns as a team. Like every member of our team has to do certain turns. Those things have kind of shifted a little bit, but those baselines are there. There's certain elements like jumps or turns that have to be completed by the whole team. And then the difficulty of those is also judged. So you're getting judged on what you're doing, just the baseline, like, oh, they're doing this skill. This is a very difficult skill. But then you're also getting a score for like the execution and how it looked. So it's like the difficulty of the technique and also like how did you look as a team when you did that? And so there's kind of a multiple things that are being scored. There's multiple judges at every competition. So you go and you get, I think it's 2 minutes and 15 seconds is the maximum length of the routine. And so you get your 2 minutes and 15 seconds on the floor. You go out, they start your music, high energy and execute. The goal is perfection, which is different from a lot of sports. Usually there's like strategy and, all of those things. For us, it's just like like we practice to be perfect. And so that's our goal, is to like engage the audience and be high energy and hopefully have perfection. But if you're at a competition, there's all the teams that get to compete. We go one at a time, and there's judges on the panel, and then there's like the technical judges and all of those things that are laid out, and they each score you, and then they end up like adding up the scores and tallying those things that way. And then it's your scores out of 100, but it's not like it's comparative to your peers, so nobody like gets 100 hardly, like that doesn't really happen.
Right.
Because that would be like the most difficult routine and it was executed to perfection, which doesn't usually happen. But like this previous year, we had scored into the 80s, which was a program high for us. I believe it was 82.5 or 6. I could be wrong. But we scored into the 80s, which was super exciting because we hadn't done that. And so, as a new program, of course, we set our goals. Like, we want to place higher and score higher. But a lot of those things were self goals just because, last year was our 3rd year competing. And so, at a competition, we try to get the highest score we can and place high. And then, our scores, based on our scores, is how they rank us. And then in order to get to the NAIA like championship competition, those are super kind of specific and technical, but they take like average scores and how many competitions you were at, and you have to hit a certain number. Like, I believe it's four competitions. That's also changed because dance is like evolving and more schools are adding programs. Lots of things change, but yeah, it's based on score, kind of like similar to like a gymnastics. Like if you watch gymnastics at the Olympics or you know people who do that, it's similar to that.
So when you are at a competition or when you are hosting, how do they determine who gets to go first? Is it a random draw? If you're hosting, do you get to go? Because I'm guessing there could be some strategy in watching somebody else's routine, even though you know what you're going to be doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So most of the time, like when we hosted our competition, we went last. And just over time, you kind of see most of the time teams do want to go last, because then the judges are, like they've mentally, they've already seen the other routines. But when you go first, like maybe they judge super, super harsh. But then as they go, they're like, oh, well, that, it can change. So like when we hosted a duel this last year, and the year before, and our coach put us last. So they had Carroll College, who we competed against, go first, and then we went right after. And because it was a duel, it was a little bit different. It was just two teams. When it's a full competition, almost always the host of the competition goes last, and then everyone else is kind of just filled into spots. In the NAI, we also get like a certain amount of time to warm up, a certain amount of time with our music, and then we usually get some time on the actual like floor to stage and go over positioning and stuff. And then we compete. So usually the host team goes last, and then every other team is kind of filled in somewhere. Depends on how big the competition is too. And some coaches that organize the competitions are, a little more strict, a little more lenient. And so it does kind of depend because there's all the rules we follow, but there is other areas where it kind of is just based on the coaches and the people that are hosting as well. But we like to go last. There seems to be a little bit of benefit to and strategy to that.
Yeah, I would think there's some benefit to know what was performed and
Absolutely.
kind of allow you to mentally gear up for, hey,
Yes.
we've got to really hit this and.
Yes. When we get to watch other teams that are like, they killed that, like, we have to go out with that same amount of energy and precision and power because we just watched this team who absolutely crushed it. And now we know we can do that, but it gives us a little, like, lights a little fire under our butt to get moving a little bit.
So tell me a little bit about your coaches, and their background and how they are they pretty active in demonstrating everything or tell me how that all works.
So our current coaches, Coach Sydney and Coach Sophia, they're great, and they have a mainly cheer background. So they're coaches of our cheer and dance programs. So we work very closely. Dance has been competitive the last 4 years. Cheer will hopefully be competitive at our will be competitive this year at our school. So we'll have those two running programs. But previously, we've worked close together, and cheer has kind of been run like a club, but very similar. So both of my coaches have a cheer background. They're choreographers, and they choreograph for middle school and high school teams that have, like, their choreography gets them those trophies and those wins. So they have an eye for clean routines and power and how to engage an audience really, really well, which is super fun to have that because sometimes those dance, like as a dancer, we don't always think about those elements. So it's really cool to have that. And then we also in the past have had other assistant coaches who will come in and teach technique for us to really pound those dance techniques. And then we hire choreographers for our competition routines and all of those things. So our coaches are really, they're the cleaners. They're gonna catch every detail. They're really good at that. And that's how their teams in the past, they've coached high school and middle school teams. That's how their teams have won. And they're really good at catching those things. So they're very much like, they want us to be our best. And so lots of repetition, lots of like pounding out those little details so we look as clean as possible. So because they don't have a super heavy dance background, there's not always the like, they're not always demonstrating, but with our other coaches who have come in, our choreographers, we've really made sure to like capitalize on those as well. But also because both my coaches have had such a heavy like an interconnected background in the cheer and dance world, a lot of times those are really connected. They have a lot of good like network connections, and so they've brought in people who help clean, or they'll send videos and they'll bring in like specific people to help us out because they have so many good connections, which I think has been super helpful in our team just getting better and better every year because they really want us to be our best. And so they're using all of their people that they know and all the connections that they have to really make us our best.
So, I know that at least in some of the younger competitions, they're working on one routine and they're just perfecting that until they get to a regional or a national or whatever that they're doing. Are you all, when you compete, are you practicing multiple different routines throughout the year, or are you doing the same kind of thing? You're trying to drill down on one and make it perfect.
So it's a little bit of both. For competition, we have one routine the whole year. We learn it usually in the first week of October, whenever that season starts, because we have the 24 weeks or 26 weeks, whatever it is, that we can be in season. And so we get our choreographer as soon as we can. We learn our routines from that choreographer, and it's a heavy weekend. It's usually like 10 to 12 hour weekend where we learn the whole thing. Because yes, it's only 2 minutes and 15 seconds, but every second is full of movement. So we usually spend a weekend and we learn all of our choreography as a team. And then we pretty much work on that the whole year. And usually there's also other things running in the background. So we perform at volleyball, basketball, and baseball games, usually like a dance performance. And so there's usually one of those running in the background that we're also learning. And then we perform that one. And then we're still working on our competition routine. And then we're learning another performance, but we're still working on it. So it's kind of a lot of moving parts. But once we learn our competition routine in the fall, we don't stop with that one until we're done with competition over our winter season. And so, yeah, that doesn't stop. That's very similar to like you get the one routine and we just are on go, like no, all gas, no breaks with the competition routine. But we're also usually have a few other things running in the background because there's like a fundraiser that we're performing at, or a local event, or a parade, or a basketball game. And so there's usually some other moving parts as well. But as our team grows, it also gets easier because then not every single dancer and every single cheerleader has to do everything, which our coaches also do a really good job about because they want us to be able to focus on school and like stay mentally really healthy and physically not be burnt out in any way. So they keep us going really well, but also keep us busy, which is good.
So tell me your favorite thing about competing as a competitive dancer in college.
I actually really, really love the environment. And I guess when I say that, I mean like the environment of my team, because we just move as a unit. And like I said, there's no like, offense and defense, and like those things don't get to happen with my sport. And so we are just a team, and we have to just decide going into this performance, like we are giving 110%. We have 2 minutes and 15 seconds. Like that's all. So we better give it our all. And so it's really fun. Like I love being able to stand backstage and run out onto the floor with my teammates and just encourage each other and call out stuff. It's really fun also, as it seems like a little bit of a like opposite effect, but we like while we perform, we are calling out to our teammates. We're saying like we're calling out reminders of like remember this. And so whatever silly words those are to get our teammates to remember. And also just like we got this, like push, keep going, like while we're performing. And I love being able to do that. And all my teammates know. They're usually like, hey Greta, can you yell this? 'Cause you'll remember. And so I love being able to like be that vocal like encouragement while we're in the middle of this performance. But I also love the competition environment. It's really fun. Obviously, like, we're competing against these other teams, but as a sport, we tend to be really good at like sitting on the floor and cheering for our teammates and then for the other teams as well, which I think is fun. Because at the end of the day, like we went on the floor, we're giving it our all, but so are they. And so that's been something that's fun for me, is watching other teams as well and just like pushing them because I know how hard they worked. Because we've been doing the same thing. And so I really love those like positive environments we get to have, because stereotypically, or when people think of cheer and dance, they don't always think of like fuzzy encouragement, happy, positive vibes. Unfortunately, there's lots of negative stereotypes that seem to pop into people's heads. And so one of my favorite things about being able to dance in college is the fact that my experience has actually been very much the opposite of that, which I adore.
I love the fact that you mentioned supporting and cheering your competition. We see that in other sports as well. Track and field is like that. A little bit of cross country is like that. There's a camaraderie there, and an idea or a sense of, hey, I know what you are going through to do this. So it's really cool to hear that.
Yeah, I love that. It's
So
definitely, I think that's my favorite.
let me shift a little bit to understanding. So again, this is a high intense, it's an athletic activity, but with that comes bumps and bruises and injuries and different things like that. So tell me, number one, I know you have phenomenal trainers there at LC State.
Yes, we do.
But do you have, is it like other teams where, okay, I have starters, or this is our competition team, but what happens if someone gets hurt? Do you bring somebody in and they have to learn it as well, or how does that all work?
Yeah, so like you said, we do have phenomenal trainers, so they keep us in really good shape. But we usually what happens with pretty much all dance teams is you have like your competition team, and then there's usually alternates. And so in my opinion, those alternates are just the like some of the most important people because they are learning the whole routine from every person's perspective. Because in a dance routine, if you've watched any NAI competition, there is so much happening. Like the people in the front line are doing something while the people in the back are doing another thing, and the people on the side, there's so many things happening. And so this last year, we actually had to use an alternate. We had somebody, like some stuff happened, and somebody couldn't be in the competition a week before. And so we had to call on our alternate that year, this last year, and she crushed it. Like she hopped in and she knew the routines and she learned all the new details of this specific person and where they're supposed to go on the floor at what time. And so that is kind of how that looks for our sport, because obviously we don't have like a starting lineup and then a bench that we call on. We do in some sense, but it's a little bit different. And so it's definitely something that's super important. Our coaches try really hard to keep us conditioned and healthy in that way, so we're not having those injuries. But being in athletics in any capacity, especially in college, like there's injuries happen. And so that's why we do have those alternates. And usually we have a few alternates. This last year we just had one. And she just knew the routine. And then when she got plugged in, she learned those details. And it was a lifesaver because, like you said, like there's, it's not like there's certain positions and certain players that can sub in. And so it's a little different and it's quite complicated because dance is so complicated. But yeah, it's pretty cool. And those people, like the people that are alternates for your team, are some of the most important, honestly, because they never know when they're going to get called on to be a part, and they crush it, which is super cool.
Yeah, and it sounds like if I'm following correctly, they have to know every position potentially.
Yes.
Whereas if you're on a basketball team, I mean, the guard isn't going to be subbed in for the post player
Right.
necessarily. Yeah.
Yeah.
So your sub, I've got to know what I do as a guard, not as a post player. Yeah,
Yeah.
interesting. So, as the sport grows in the NAIA, and really the NAIA was one of the first, if not the first, to include it as a championship sport, and I think the NCAA has followed, which they do a lot of when we have a
Yes.
championship sport. But what is your hope for the growth of this sport nationally?
I hope that more schools continue to make teams competitive. Obviously, like right now, like there's no other schools in our conference that have competitive teams, so we kind of have to jump around and do what we can to compete and do our best, which is great, and we have so much support. But my hope is that more and more teams and schools put energy and money and effort towards getting teams and getting coaches and growing programs, because there are so many talented dancers, like so many that I know. And a lot of them, like if they had an opportunity to dance at an NAI level where they can earn scholarship and still go to school, like they would. But that gets harder at like other levels. And so I hope that more schools continue to do that because it's changed my college experience. I would not be where I am at, and I wouldn't be as involved, and I wouldn't have my connections that I do without it. And so I hope that more girls get that opportunity and more boys that get to be on these cheer and dance teams, especially as dance is kind of not always viewed as like a competitive sport. And so I hope for that as well. But I also hope that schools who have teams and who are growing teams, they're supportive. We have such a good environment at LC, and that's one thing that is hard. Like you never know when you start a dance program or a cheer program. Sometimes there's not a lot of support even within the other coaches and the other athletes. And one thing that I just adore about LC, and there's so many things, but one of my favorites is how much the other coaches of all the other sports will talk to me and ask me questions, and because they're curious and they want to support me, and they'll have that, you know, they tell their players, and how the other student athletes that I know are like, when are you competing? When are you performing? We want to be there. We want to support you. And that's just really cool because I know a lot of schools and a lot of teams don't necessarily have that. And so I hope that's something that spreads and grows, because having that support at a college level from co college coaches and other student athletes has really changed our LC, like the program at LC. And I'm so grateful for that. So I want that for as many schools as I can.
That's great. Well, Greta, it has been so fun talking to you about your experience and your program. I've learned a lot about it, and really excited for LC Dance and what this year will bring for all of you. So, best of luck to you all this year, and I look forward to trying to watch one of your performances.
Yes, we would love that. Yeah, thank you so much.
Well, this has been Greta Borison from LC State, representing their competitive dance program, and this has been the first edition of Cascade Connects for the 26-27 year.
On behalf of Director Courtney Blummer and host Robert Cashel, thanks for tuning in to Cascade Connects, the official podcast of the Cascade Collegiate Conference, 15 championships, and over 3,000 student athletes. This is the CCC.